just yell out whatever it seems to be. One could always explain differently. One could always, you know, argue and look at it differently. But Kikaron, does it seem to say that Yaakov Avinu at this stage is able to see or is not able to see? Okay, so if he's able to see, yes. If he's not able to see, no. Everyone got it? Okay. It's not move. So just everyone, you don't know move? No one knows move. Passe? Really? I'm shocked. No one knows move?
Oh my God. New generation.
Wow. No chadash. Well, I'm not going to tell you because it's not a very nice game in college. You should learn from me. So, anyhow. Oh, that's never happened. Okay, so everyone, please shout out the answer as we get to it. Okay, we're going to start from Pasuk Chet. Okay, Pasuk Chet. Okay, Pasuk Chet begins, it's very easy when we get started. Vayar Yisrael.
Yes.
Good, okay. Vayar Yisrael, B'nei Yosef, Vayomer Mi'ela.
No.
Okay. Right, anyone? We could have a firmer no for that one.
No.
Mi'ela, right here, Yaakov is confronted with his two, what we assume are his two favorite grandchildren, right? We would think that he would recognize them. And he says, Mi'ela, right? Who are these? 17 years, right? We know that for 17 years, Yaakov has been living together with Yosef and Mitzrayim. It's a beautiful symmetry that we have. There are the 17 years that Yaakov and Yosef are together in Canaan before Yosef is sold into slavery. There are the 17 years when they're reunited in Mitzrayim, right? It's 17 and 17 that they spend together. In between, there's this period of separation. But for 17 years, Yaakov has been living with Yosef, his favorite son. And hopefully by now, Yaakov is making less of a big deal about that fact. But nonetheless, it's his favorite son. These are his grandchildren. Mi'ela. Okay, that's what it sounds like. Pasgir Aleph. Bayom Yisrael Yosef. Re'o fanecha lo pilauti. V'hinei her'au t'yalim. Kam etzarecha.
Yes.
Thank you. Anyone else want to join?
Yeah.
Yes. Right? V'hinei her'au t'yalim kim kam etzarecha. Hashem has shown me your children. V'hasei Yosef otamim birkam. Beishtachu lapavarti. Ben kach yosef et shneihem. Et Ephraim minom et smol Yisrael bet menashe bet smolo min Yisrael beigesh elav. Beishlach Yisrael et yumino beyashet al rosh Ephraim. Behu atzair. Bet smolo al rosh menashe sikel yadav ki menashe habachor. Beberech yosef et omar. Elohim asher talchu avotai lepanav. Abraham v'Yitzhak. Elohim avreelti meodi ad hayom atzeh. המלאך הגולת מקורא יברך את הנערים, יקרא בהם שמי בשם אבותיי, אברהם יצחק, ויגול ארו בקרב הארץ. וירא יוסף כי אשית אביו ימינו על ראש אפרים, וירא בעיניו, ויתמוך יד אביו להסיר אותה מעל ראש אפרים, על ראש מנשה. ויאמר יוסף אל אביו, לא כן אבי, כי זה הבחור, שים ימינך על ראשו. וימאן אביו, ויאמר ידעתי בני ידעתי, גם הוא יהיה לעם, גם הוא יגדל, ואולם אחיו הקטון יגדל ממנו, וזרעו יהיה מלוא הגויים. What do you say? Yes or no?
Yes.
So, it's incredible, that Yaakov, on the one hand, doesn't know that these are Yosef's sons, at first, but then he knows exactly which one is Menashe and which one is Ephraim. That's kind of Ipcha Mesavra, right? It's like a little backwards. Okay, so we have that question. Question number one is, does Yaakov see, does he not see? And we can explain this in various ways, but I think that there's a very, very clear explanation. If we think about this whole thing, but we might as well do that now. If we think about this whole setup, right, this whole scene, what do we have here? We have the father giving the brachot to his children, to his descendants, ostensibly put it, you know, giving the bracha to the wrong one, to the younger instead of to the older, but it turns out in the end that it really is the right person to give the bracha to. Some and the father can't see well, and so he's not clear on who is who. Sound familiar?
Yes, go.
Right, this like this the way that Yaakov, who's the one who's giving the bracha here, this is exactly the scene when Yaakov gets the bracha from his father, right? And I want to tentatively suggest, and I think that there's a lot of truth to this, and there may be many other explanations for the apparent inconsistencies about whether or not Yaakov can see or not, but the first thing that I would suggest is very simple, that Yaakov, I'm sure he didn't have 20/20 at this point, but Yaakov can see, he sees who they are, he knows which one is Ephraim, which one is Menashe, but there is, he creates this scene, he sets this scene, imitating the way that he received the bracha. Okay, and I think there's a very important reason for this, why it's critical that Yaakov sets the scene the way that he received the bracha from Yitzhak. That's how he's transmitting it to, who is he transmitting it to? Who is he giving a bracha to? That's the next question that we have to ask ourselves. Who is he giving a bracha to? So I'd like to just show you two psukim, and it would be very convenient if they both told us the same thing, but they don't. Pasuk Tet and Pasuk Tet Vav. Okay, let's look at those two pasukim one after the other. Pasuk Tet, Vayomer Yosef al Aviv, Banai Heim Asher Natan Li Elohim Vazeh, Vayomar, so Yaakov says, Kachena Elai Va'avarchem. Okay, bring them, meaning Ephraim and Menashe, right? Bring Ephraim and Menashe to me, so that I can give a bracha to them. Pasuk Tet Vav. ויברך את יוסף, ויאמר, אלוהים אשר תלכו אבותי לפניו, ואברהם יצחק, אלוהים אמר אותי מהודיע על היום הזה. So who's giving a bracha to?
Yosef.
Yosef. But Pasuk Tet, he said, bring over Ephraim and Menashe, so I give them a bracha. Right? So who's the bracha to? Is it to Ephraim and Menashe, or to Yosef? Here in the later Pasuk, it says, ויברך את יוסף, but then what does he continue to say? He puts his hands on their on the heads of Ephraim and Menashe, and he gives a bracha specifically to them. Malach Hagolot Mikorai Yivarechet Hanarim. That's clearly Ephraim and Menashe. Vigul Arov Bekerav Haaretz. Right? Gam Hu Yel Am Gam Hu Yidal Achiv Akaton Yidal Mimenu Bezerah Yem Lo Agoyim. Everything is to Ephraim and Menashe. It's a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe. It's a bracha to Yosef. Right? So the easy way out of that is to simply say, well, he gives a bracha to Ephraim and Menashe, but that's indirectly a bracha to Yosef, because if you give something to someone's children, it's like giving it to them, right? You know, because as parents, we're happy if our children get presents, which is a nice thought, and I'm not saying it's wrong. I mean, certainly the idea is right, and I think it could be part of the explanation, but I think that there's something much, much more fundamental, much deeper going on here. Okay, so let's go back a little bit. Let's go back a little bit. But before we do, not yet, but before we do, let's... Why is this one side? Are all these one sided? They're all one... No. Who doesn't have... Who has
this? Oh, this was probably... Oh, no. I'm just confused. This is one side. I mean, this is the second side, if anyone needs it.
That's
colored on the bottom, I'm so sorry.
It's okay, no problem. So you have a double side one now?
Yeah.
Who doesn't have a double side? I guess it was like one original of this. Sorry, I didn't take it out of the batch. Okay, let's turn to the second side for a moment before we even get to what's going on. In Bereisha Perek Lamed Hey, this is the bottom of the second side. The bottom second side. Vayomer lo Elohim, Shemcha Yaakov lo yikare Shemcha od Yaakov, ki im Yisrael yeshmecha vekrat Shemo Yisrael. Vayomer lo Elohim, Ani El Shaddai perei orvei, goy ukahal goyim yiyem imecha, umalachim mechaltzecha yitzei. Okay, they're, you know, pray, obey, rather than some pru or vu. Goy ukal goyim yemecha. There's going to be all of these nations coming from you, these multitudes coming from you, etc. And it's very strange because at that point, Yaakov already has 11 of his 12 children. The only one who was born after that is Binyamin, right? And so it's a little strange. What's this prayer of A? Where's that fulfilled? What's this guy that called Bakalbo Yumi Yem Mecha? In Perak Mem Chet, the same idea is repeated, but Yomri Yaakov Yosef, El Shaddai, that's our Perak that we're learning, El Shaddai Yerala Beluz Beretz Kanan by Barafoti, and specifically it's over here, it's very interesting that it's Dafka over here in this section, we'll see why in a few moments. Says the Ibn Ezra on these Pesukim, V'tam hinni mafracha, mafracha b'biticha, al dat ha-ge'on, who's the ge'on in Ibn Ezra?
The Ramban, or the Ramban?
Rav Sadigo, very good. Okay, always when Ibn Ezra quotes the Gaon, it's Rav Sadigo. Okay, so the first real parshan on Tanakh, and he quotes, he says, V'tam hinima al dat ha-ga'on, Rav Sadigo explains, Shamar li Hashem hinima facha uven lo nolad li, rak meta rachel. This is a little strange, what are you talking about? V'ata yadati, says Yaakov. In other words, the Rav Sadigo is putting this into the mouth of Yaakov. Vatayadati, now I understand. Ki ba'avur banecha hanlodim lecha amar hanim mafracha. Why does it say that you're going to have all these children? It's talking about Ephraim and Menashe. It says the Ibn Ezra, v'zeh peirush of Rav Sadigo, ein lo tam v'reach. He doesn't like it. Ki ma'afresh ben b'nei Yosef ben b'nei Ruvein. Why is Yaakov picking on Bnei Yosef? What about the other children? What about the other grandchildren that he has? Why dafka them? If that's what prey or vein means, if that's what hinani mafracha v'hibriticha means, why dafka the sons of Yosef? Okay, so we'll let Hashem understand that in a little bit. Let's go to the next to last, sorry, the second from the top, the second box from the top, on this same side, okay, second side, and that's the following. Bereishit Perek Nun, a very difficult pasuk. V'chol Beit Yosef, the entire household of Yosef, ve'achav, and Yosef's brothers, uveit aviv, and his father's household, rak tapam v'tzonam karam azu ve'eretz Goshen. So that's who went to the funeral of Yaakov, right? Kol Beit Yosef, echav, Uveit Aviv. Now, who's called Beit Yosef? Who's called Beit Yosef? So we have Yosef, his wife, and his two children, right? Now, L'chora, it tells us that Kol Beit Aviv, right, went, so you know, Yosef was anyhow going. And we have to decide whether his children went or not. But what is this Bechol Beit Yosef? In other words, it doesn't say by the other brothers, it doesn't say, you know, they and their children and the Chol Beit Ham. It says Beit Aviv. Beit Aviv is ostensibly all of Yaakov's children, grandchildren, whatever. Right? So what is Chol Beit Yosef? Chol Beit Yosef is Yosef's wife. That's Kol Beit Yosef. What does Kol Beit Yosef say? What's being added here? You know, other members of the family who we'd like to throw in? You understand what I'm saying, right? Why this is difficult. So, Ezra Hashem, we will try to understand it. We have to do a bit of calculating, but I think we can do it. Let's turn back to the beginning. Okay. And here we come to the Yisod. We know that Yosef receives two brachot from Yaakov Avinu. One, it says here in Pasuk Tet Vav, Yivarech et Yosef, right? There's a bracha that we have here in Perek Mem Chet. And then if you turn the page just for a second to glance at it, Perek Mem Tet, the very next chapter, beautiful bracha that Yosef gets. Ben Porat Yosef, Ben Porat Aliayim, Benot Sadah Aleshor, Ben Marov, Ben Marovu. So Yosef gets a huge bracha, one of the most beautiful bracha, maybe the most beautiful bracha in Perek Mem Tet. What's Perek Mem Tet? So in Perek Mem Tet, the second bracha, notice that first of all it speaks specifically about him, but notice also that if you remember Perek Mem Tet, Yosef gets a bracha. In what context? In what context does Yosef get a bracha? Together with, it's not on
the rest of the brothers.
All the brothers, excellent. Together with all the other brothers. As one of the Shvatim, Yosef gets a bracha just like everyone else does, or almost everyone gets a bracha. Won't go there. But in any case, Yosef gets a bracha together with his brothers. But in Perek Mem Chet, it's a little bit different. In Perek Mem Chet, there are several things that stand out. Number one, the idea that we mentioned to begin with, that Yaakov recreates the scene of receiving the bracha from his father. Okay? So we have number one, the idea that he is transmitting the bracha that he received from his father. Number two, it is given to or through Ephraim and Menashe. Okay? And there are other things as well, but those are the two that we'll start with. I'd like to focus on Pesukim Hei and Vav. Pesukim Hei and Vav, because that's really the key to everything. Va'ata is the top of the first page. Va'ata, Shnei Banecha, Noladim, Lecha, Be'eretz Mitzrayim, Abo'i, Elecha, Mitzrayma, Lihem. Ephraim u'Menashe, Kiruvim v'Shim'on Yiyuli. U'malatetcha, Asher Latach Areihem, Lecha Yiyu, Al'Shem Achayim Yikaru B'Nachlatam. So Yaakov says that Ephraim and Menashe, which are examples, they're actually the only examples as far as we know, but they are examples of a category. The category is those people who were born ad bo'i elecha Mitzrayma, until Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim, right, during the years when Yosef is alone in Mitzrayim, those children, Ephraim and Menashe, equal Reuven and Shimon, okay? And what are they examples of? What category? This is the people who are born at Bo'i Elecha Mitzrayimah. Who are these people, Reuven and Shimon? Or Reuven and Shimon? Reuven, Shimon, etc. are?
The oldest?
The Shvatim, right? These are the Shvatim. I mean, there are many subcategories, but they're the Shvatim, okay? Those children who are born after, right, after Bo'i, right, Acharei Bo'i Elecha Mitzrayim, those who are born after Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim, we don't know of any specific examples. Mepharshim discussed whether or not there were any or not, we don't know. But in any case, there's some indications perhaps, but we really don't know. They are like the children of the Shvatim. Okay? They are considered to be the children of Ephraim and Menashe or whatever. Okay? The question is, and this is the key to everything, the question we have to ask ourselves is, what is the significance of that division between those who are born before Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim and those who are born afterwards? Okay? Why that split? And what is Yaakov trying to accomplish by recreating the scene of the way he received the brachot? Okay, what is all that about? So the answer, I believe, is the following. This is the essence I want to give to you. The essence of the idea is the following. It goes to the question of what, you know, the Gemara in Brachot on the end of the first parak says that there are only four imahot and three avot, right? And we don't refer to people other than those seven people as avot and imahot. What is unique about those people? What is special about them? Is it just because they were earlier? They came earlier in history? Is it because there's something unique about them? So we have a clue to this you look on the bottom of the page, bottom of this box, rather, this big box on page, on side one, both in Yechezkel and Yeshayahu, we find the idea of Echad Haya Avraham. Right? First in Yechezkel, Paraklam Gimel, it says, Echad Haya Avraham, by Yerushal Arts, etc. In Parak Nun Aleph of Yeshayahu, it says, Ki Echad Kirativ, Va'avarchehu, Va'arbehu. And this, I think, is the key. And it's emphasized, if you turn the page, in Yoshua Parakaf Dalid, Yoshua Parakaf Dalid, in the middle of the page, Vayom Yoshua El Kol Am, we say this in the Haggadah, so it should be familiar to Pesukim, no other reason. Kol Amar Adonai Elohei Yisrael, Ve'eber HaNahar Yeshua B'techem Me'olam, Terach Avi Abraham, Vavi Nachor, Vayavdu Elohim Achirim. Avram's family were pagans. They're all the Avodah Zarah. To use anachronistic terms. Avram's father wasn't Jewish, his brother wasn't Jewish, just him. Okay? And it continues. Continues in Yoshua. Vayakach et Avichem et Avraham me'eber anahar, v'olech oto b'chol eretz Kanan, v'arbe et zaro, v'atem lo et Yitzhak, v'atem lo Yitzhak et Yaakov, v'et Esav, v'atem lo Esav et Har Seir, in other words, Yitzchak, right, has a brother Yishmael, and Yaakov has a brother Esav, and there are at every point there isn't a family or a nation or a community, there isn't a tzibur of people who are all automatically part of the club or part of the team. We're all Ovdei Hashem, who have a brit with Hashem. The brit in the time of the Avot and Imahot is person by person, as individual. And Avraham has his brit with Hashem despite the fact that the rest of his family is not part of that brit. Right? And the same thing is true of the Imahot, etc. There's no automatic thing. You're just born into it and it's automatic that you're chosen or you choose or... It doesn't work that way. It's each person. Echad haya Avraham. Avraham is an individual himself. And that's a tremendously, we all know that having a support system, having a community, whether it's in terms of family, in terms of community, in terms of nation, is a tremendous, tremendous benefit in terms of strengthening us. And it's very important to pick a good context and a good setting and a good environment. The greatness of the Avot and Imahot was that they were able to have the spirit with Hashem as individuals, despite their surroundings, despite everyone and everything around them. Yaakov, okay, now we come to our parasha, to Perek Memchet. Yaakov wants to acknowledge, wants to make a statement that Yosef was one of the Avot also. That in a certain sense, Yosef was also one of the Avot. And there are hints to this all over Tanakh, that Yosef is referred to in a way that's usually reserved for just the Avot and Imahot. And since he was male, we'll talk about the Avot. Yosef is treated as one of the Avot in many contexts throughout Nevi'im, and I'm not going to go through the examples now, just a couple of very important cases in Chumash itself, but that's it. Yaakov Avinu wants to say, this is why he recreates the scene of how he received the bracha, because he wants to say, the bracha that I'm giving is not, in Perek Mem Chet, it's not the bracha Perek Mem Tet, which is the bracha of the Shvatim. In Perek Mem Chet, Yaakov is giving the bracha of the Avot. He's transmitting, just like Yitzhak was choosing who the next of the Avot was going to be, in a somewhat complicated way. But in any case, Yaakov was chosen as the next of the Avot. The same thing Yaakov is doing in terms of Yosef. And Yaakov wants to say, Yosef, you are one of the Avot. Why? Because in that period of time, Ad Bo'i Elecha Mitzrayma, until Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim with the rest of the family, and they become Bnei Yisrael, the whole time that Yosef is alone in Mitzrayim, And no one knows, you know, where exactly who his family is, and his family doesn't know where he is and what he's doing, what he's up to, what he's not up to. If Yosef does the right thing, whether in terms of Esha Potifar or other cases, whatever Yosef does during all those years in Mitzrayim, the Yosef who's Tachat Elokim Anochi, that Yosef is totally on his own. His relationship with Hashem is based on nothing other than his relationship with Hashem. There is no context, there is no support system, there is no community, there's no family. It's all alone. It's very much like Echad Hayah Abraham. Everyone with me so far? Understand what I'm saying? So Yaakov wants to say to Yosef, in this scene, in Perek Mem Chet, Yaakov wants to say to Yosef, Yosef, you are one of the Avot. I'm giving the bracha to you that I received from Yitzhak when I was chosen as one of the Avot. But there's a problem. What's the problem? What's the problem giving the bracha to Yosef as one of the Avot? What's the problem? He wants to give this bracha to Yosef, but he really can't. There's something standing in the way. What's standing in the way? I don't mean the Gemara bracha. What's standing in the way? The brothers? Yeah, but that doesn't seem to bother Yaakov.
Two sons that Yosef has. There's two people to pass it on to.
Right. But there's something more fundamental here. You haven't yet gotten to. The Yosef, let me suggest, the Yosef that Yaakov wants to give the bracha of the Avot to, the Yosef that Yaakov wants to say, you're one of the Avot. Why? Because you did it all alone. You did it by yourself, without any support, without any context. Does that Yosef exist anymore? That Yosef disappeared 17 years ago when Yaakov came to Mitzrayim with the rest of the family. Right? That Yosef is not the Yosef that's standing before him now. In some ways, for better, for worse, for different, whatever you want to call it. But the Yosef was one of the Avot. That was 17 years ago. And 18 years ago, 19 years ago, etc. But not now. So how do you give a bracha to someone who doesn't exist anymore? To someone who stopped existing 17 years ago? Everyone hear Yaakov's dilemma? But he wants to give the bracha of the Avot, in the same way as he received it. He wants to give the bracha of the Avot to that Yosef. Not to this Yosef. Not to the current Yosef. To the Yosef of the past. So how do you do it? So the answer is, you can only do it indirectly. Because, as I said, that Yosef doesn't exist anymore. So how do you do it? This is how you do it. What does it mean to be one of the Shvatim? What does it mean to be one of the Shvatim? That you're a first generation to one of the Avot. Right? That's what it means to be one of the Shvatim. What's the difference between Shimon and his sons? Right? That Shimon is one of the direct... he's first generation to one to the Avot. So, if Ephraim and Menashe are equated to Reuben and Shimon, if those children who were conceived ad bo'i elecha Mitzrayma, who are the product of this Yosef, of the Yosef of 17 and more years ago, if that Yosef, if the children who are his offspring of that Yosef, if you like to call him Yosef number one, right? The children of Yosef number one, Ephraim and Asher, are equated to the Shvatim. By implication, it's saying that that Yosef of Adboi Elach Mitzrayma is one of the Avot. That makes sense? And therefore, Yaakov, on the one hand, as it says in Pasuk Tevav, Yaakov is mevarech et Yosef, mevarech et Yosef bayomah. The bracha that he's giving is really to Yosef. But, kachena elai b'avarchem, as it says in Pasuk Tev, right? It's going to be through Ephraim and Menashe. And by implication, the Yosef of Adboi Elach Mitzrayim. Okay? Everyone got it? Hey, that I think is the key. that Yosef is the Yosef of Avoi Alecha Mitzrayim is being recognized as one of the Shvatim by means of giving a bracha to Ephraim Menashe as Shvatim. And therefore, let's see how things play out. Okay, let's see how things play out. In Bereishit Perek Mem Zayin, Bereishit Perek Mem Zayin. Okay, this is the second box, second little box. First little box, the second box from Flav on side one. Bereishit Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, and Pasuk Yud. Something that is a little strange, and we have to always keep in mind how much space is devoted to things, and sometimes it may seem like a little bit of space being devoted to something. When you think about it proportionately, if you think about how many words are used, how many sentences are used, how many phrases are used to describe the entire life of Yaakov, who lived for 147 years, right, and you divide that into pieces, every phrase that's there is significant, right? And you take a look. Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, by Avo Yosef al Yaakov Aviv, by Mideu Fnei Paro, by Barech Yaakov et Paro. So some farshim say this is like, you know, etiquette that someone comes to, an old person comes to the king, he gives him a bracha. Very nice, but why do we need to be told this? All the more so because a few psukim later we're told again. By Barech Yaakov et Paro, by Yitzem Lefnei Paro. We're told twice that he gives a bracha to Paro. Why is that? Why are we told that? So, the reason for it, I believe, is the following. It says in Bereishit Perek Kaf Bet, and this is a recurring theme in Sefer Bereishit, Bidbarachu b'zaracha kol goyei ha'aretz ekev asher shamat v'kolei. There's this idea that the role of the Avot in particular, and Bnei Yisrael in general, is to bring bracha to the world. Is to be a source of blessing for the world. And this is something you can see in all kinds of tangible ways, but I'm not going to get into that right now. The point is that this is the role that is true of Bnei Yisrael as a whole, but especially and particularly in terms of the Avot. And if we take a look in Bereishit Rabbah, famous idea, there's a debate about this, the Ramban has a long discussion on it, but Chazal say, I'm Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina, Shtei Shanim Asa Ha-Ra'av, the famine actually lasted for 2 years. She came and she arrived. Yaakov Avinu Lisham Allah Rav. Right? Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim and Rav comes to Mitzrayim. Everyone look at the board for 1 second. We have time is divided between Ad Bo'i Elecha Mitzrayim, until Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim, and once Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim. Until Yaakov comes to Mitzrayim, who is the source of bracha from Mitzrayim? Who is it who is the cause of the Mitzrayim having food even during the famine, during those 2 years, until Yaakov comes down to Mitzrayim?
Yosef.
And then what happens to the last 5 years according to Chazal? Right now, Yaakov is the source of that bracha, right? When Yaakov comes to Paro, and the Torah says twice, by Barech Yaakov et Paro, by Barech Yaakov et Paro, the same phrase twice. It's not just he said hello to him. He said something polite to him. Mitzrayim represents the world. Mitzrayim was the empire. Mitzrayim was the superpower. Mitzrayim was the civilized world. That was it. And the point is that if Yaakov is Mivarech Paro, this is the fulfillment of the Nivrachu V'chachum Mishpat Adam Amzarech. Right? And that's an expression of Yaakov as the last of the Avot. And Yaakov is taking over for the role that Yosef had played in Mitzrayim until that point. In any case, this is just a thought in terms of that split that we have over here. Please turn to side two. Let's return for a moment to Bereishit Perek Nun Pasuk Chet, okay, second box. The whole Beit Yosef ve'echav uBeit Aviv rak tapam mitzonam uvkaram azu be'eretz Goshen. So, Kol Beit Yosef, Kol Beit Yosef. Kol Beit Yosef comes to the funeral procession of Yaakov. Okay, Kol Beit Yosef. Now, Kol Beit Yosef, there's almost no doubt we're talking about Ephraim and Menashe. But what's the chiddush about Ephraim Menashe? Kol Beit Aviv came. The whole family of Yaakov Avinu comes. Ephraim Menashe is certainly part of that. What's the chiddush? So the chiddush is found in the continuation of the pasuk. Rak tapam, right? Rak tapam uvikaram azu be'eretz Goshen. Okay? How old is Taf? Until what age is someone included in the category of Taf? And sometimes it may be used more narrowly and sometimes more broadly, but there is a cutoff point. There is an age limit for someone being considered Taf, being part of the younger generation. What is that? Until what age? Taf equals until Taf is, let's say, under what age? Under the age of? No, that's
18?
Not Taf. No. You know, it's an explicit pasuk. No. Not here, not in Bereshit. It's in Bamidbar.
20, 21?
No.
20.
30? 20, yes.
Oh, I said 20.
Okay, 20. Very good. Okay. Let's give other people a chance to get right answers. Yes. Okay. 20. It's under 20. Okay, how do I know that?
Is it going to war?
What?
I'm assuming that should be tough.
It going to war.
Just counting with the shkalim.
Well, the Torah says that Dor HaMidbar all died out. This exera that all Dor HaMidbar died out except for the Taf. The Tapchem Asher Amar Atem Labazi Yu. Right? Hashem says that you're going to die out, but your Taf is not going to die out. Okay? And it says that everyone who was in the Kudim, everyone who was counted, right, when they took the census, everyone was counted, died out, and those who were younger did not die. Okay? And it says that who was it that was, who were the younger people who did not die out until the age of 20? Okay? Okay, so under 20 is considered tough. You say that? That you see from Sefer Bamidbar. Now, so Taf is under 20. How old are Ephraim and Menashe at the time of Yaakov's burial? So I will tell you, if I can figure this out, anybody can, because I am so bad at things that have to do with time and dates. You have no idea. I am not exaggerating when I tell you. My 18th birthday, which is a biggie, you have to see, you know, for people growing up in America, 18, as a big birthday, my parents threw me a surprise birthday party, and despite all the clues, and all the items of food that we had in the house that we didn't normally have, and all the things when leading up to it, I totally was taking my surprise because I didn't realize it was my birthday. So, I'm just telling you, I'm very bad with calendarical things and things of that nature, and I am. It's one of my many, many blind spots. And so I can tell you, if I can do this, anyone can do it. So follow me carefully, okay? Watch. We put together the clues, okay? Put together the clues. Ephraim and Menashe, we're told, are born before the beginning of the Ra'av. Okay? And there's basis for saying, I'm not going to go through all the details right now, but it's basis for saying that that means right before the time of the Ra'av. Okay? And like right before the time of the Ra'av, right before the Ra'av begins, so this is when Ephraim and Menashe are born. Okay, we're not getting into the whole discussion. Okay, yeah, but Ephraim and Menashe are born right over here. Okay? This is the time of the Ra'av. Now, how much time is there from the beginning of the Ra'av until the death of, right, until the death of Yaakov.
They were 2 years into the famine.
It's all explicit psukim, right? None of this is midrash. It's all explicit in the psukim. They're born terem bo shnat ha'ra'av. There are 2 years of famine before Yaakov comes. How many years from when Yaakov comes until
17?
So we have 17 plus 2 plus a little bit. So how old are Ephraim and Manasseh, presumably, at the time of the death of Yaakov? 19 and change. If they're 19 and change, they are in the category of? Taf. As a rule, who didn't go to the funeral? The Taf. The Taf were left, kept behind, presumably as hostages. In any case, the Taf were left behind. No, seriously, that is probably the point, that they, to ensure that they would kind of, in any case, the point is, it's very similar to what Paro does later. The point is that it says that Kol Beit Yosef went to the funeral, as opposed to the general rule, which is Rak Tapam of Karam, right? Asu Beretz Goshen. So, as opposed to the general rule, which is that the Taf did not go to the funeral, they stay back in Goshen, Ephraim and Menashe do go. Why do Ephraim and Manasseh go if no one under 20 went? The answer we know. What's the answer? They're Shvatim. It's different. It's a different status. When it comes to the Shvatim, they're considered first generation. They, of course, are going. That's goes without saying, regardless of age. In terms of the grandchildren, great-grandchildren, that's already a question of how old they were at the time. Okay, and that's, I think, the clear meaning. I don't know of any other pshat from B'chol Beit Yosef. I have no idea what B'chol Beit Yosef means. One more ramification of this framework, I think, is exactly what Rav Saad Yagon says. Rav Saad Yagon is saying something so beautiful and so powerful, and I think that Lanei Adaiti, the Ibn Ezra, really missed what Rav Saad Yagon was saying. Rav Saad Yagon tells us that when the Torah says, "Pray or vey, kal goy ukahal goyim yem mecha," in Perek Lamed Hey, and again in Perek Mem Chet, Yaakov refers back to us and says that "Vayomer Eli hinima prachaber v'tichal v'tichal lekal amim," etc. This is the pasuk right. These are the pasukim right before Vata Shnei Banecha Hanoladim L'cha Be'eretz Mitzrayim Bo'i Elecha Mitzrayim Alihem Ephraim Menashe Kruvei Mishimon Yuli. Right? It's a direct flow. It's a direct train of thought here. That this idea that who is the prayer bay Goy Kol Goyim Yemek? This is how about Ephraim Menashe? Rav Saad Yagon says, again to quote Rav Saad Yagon, that Aldat HaGaon, says the Ibn Ezra, Aldat HaGaon, Shamar li Hashem inima facha uven lo nolam li rakmei de Rachel. I didn't understand that first, says Yaakov. What does it mean by ta prei uvei inima facha berbit yichu? What is that? Vata yadati. Now I understand. Ki bavur banecha olodim lucha amar inima facha. And the Ibn Ezra says, I don't understand. What's the difference? Whether we're talking what grandchildren? Bnei Yosef, Bnei Reuven. It's all the same thing. It's not the same thing. And that's exactly what Yaakov goes on to say, that it's not the same thing at all, that Ephraim and Manasseh are more Shvatim. They are the same because they are first generation to one of the Avot. And therefore, it's a direct flow from one thing to the other. It's a direct continuation from Pesukim Gimel and Dalet on the one hand, and Hey and On in Perek Mem Chet, in Yaakov's Brachot to Yosef, Yosef of the past, Yosef that was, Yosef 17 years ago, through the medium of Ephraim and Manasseh. I think these are some of the ramifications of this idea, but the karon that I want to bring out is the idea of the unique element of the Avot and Imahot. I think that if we turn back, and this with this we're going to conclude, we turn back to Yeshua Parakaf Dalet, the middle of side 2, Yeshua Parakaf Dalet, right after talking about the idea of the way the Avot, you know, Avram had his father and brother were of the Avot Azar, and he had this brit with Hashem, etc., and there's Yitzhak, and there's Yaakov and Esav, and so on and so forth. Then what does he say? What's the conclusion? What's the punchline? This is when Yeshua, the end of his life, addresses Bnei Israel in Perek Chavdal, the last chapter of Yeshua, and he says, What does Yeshua say to the people after talking about this idea about the Avot and how the Avot had the spirit with Hashem regardless of who their father was, who their brother was, who the people surrounding them were? Then Yeshua says to the people, listen, you have to make a decision today. Are you going to be faithful to Hashem, or are you going to be Ovid Avodah Zarah? And I want you to know, says Yeshua, if you decide that you're going to all abandon Hashem, I will go to me and my mean family, we'll go and we'll serve Hashem by ourselves. What's Yeshua saying to them? And the people say, what are you talking about? How could it be? Well, of course we're serving Hashem, and what are you thinking? And Yeshua says, wait. The point is that Yeshua understands that at that moment, it describes at the end of Yeshua, it describes again in Shoftim, being Shoftim. Yeshua understood that at that moment, it was easy to have this relationship with Hashem because there was Yeshua still there, who was a continuation of the era of Moshe Rabbeinu. There were the Zakenim, there was a whole society that were Ovdei Hashem. Everyone around them were part of a community, they were part of a nation. And it was relatively easy. But Yeshua was saying to them, you have to have in your minds, you have to have in your hearts the idea that you have a commitment, that you have a relationship and a commitment that is not dependent on anybody else around you. Because, says Yeshua, it might be that at this moment you have that whole context and support system, but what about tomorrow and the day after tomorrow? And Yeshua foresaw what was going to happen, and what indeed did happen to Am Yisrael later, and each person had to have their own commitment, not just rely on the context around them. As much as it's great to have that context, and it's great to have that support, and it's important that we should seek it out. But there should also always be a fundamental foundation. The foundation has to be that it's not because I'm part of this group, or I'm part of this community, or part of this nation. There has to be a personal commitment as well, like the Avot and Imot. And that's what Yeshua was saying to him. He was trying to give him a role model, saying that I have already made that decision. If all of you leave tomorrow, I'm still here. Right? I'm still here. Even if you all leave tomorrow, even if you all abandon Hashem tomorrow. And that's what Yeshua is saying to them, that they have to make that decision for themselves, each and every individual, and in following in the model of the Avot and Imahot. And that's exactly what Yosef does, that he follows, even though he's not one of the Avot technically, but he follows in that path, the Avot of Echad Haya Abraham. And even when he was Adboi Elecha Mitzrayim, it was just Yosef, he remained Yosef Atzadik. And I think it's a very, very important idea to think about and to consider that emerges from this little parashia of the bracha of Yaakov to Yosef through Ephraim and Manasseh. Thank you for the opportunity to learn together.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.